Perfect. We record all of our calls as podcasts. So there's, I don't know, I think it's about 5 or 6 years now, even though we've been doing these for 8 years, about 5 or 6 years ago, we started recording the support group calls as podcasts. So we have years and years and years of these support group calls on our website. If you haven't been to our website, I encourage you to do so. We are WLS, think weight loss surgery, right? WLSSuccessMatters.com. WLSSuccessMatters.com. And there you will find out about all of our courses, our programs, our cookbook, and future dates for these support groups, as well as our podcast of these recorded support groups. So you can listen on demand. Listen at your leisure. Listen anytime from anywhere. You just click on the button, and you can hear any of our past support group calls. So just so you know, you can find those there. How are we doing this morning? Who's new? Who's here for the first time? Anybody?
Carla,
I'm new. Rashida from Philly.
Okay, Rashida from Philly. I love it. She's new. Who else? Who's here with Rashida for the first time?
I'm Simone, and I'm also from Philly.
All right. Wow, you guys are all from Philly. Simone and Rashida, new from Philly. I love it. Anybody else new from Philly? Or just new in general?
Carla Velasquez. Carla Velasquez, Nebraska.
Nebraska. Carla's new, too. Welcome, Carla. Who else?
Tim Gill, Minnesota.
Timville, Minnesota. I love it. Yay. Are all of our new callers awaiting a surgery date or on the pre-op stage of your journey?
Yes.
Pre-op.
Yes, pre-op.
Yes.
There you go. Perfect. It's a very exciting time to be pre-op. All the information is coming at you, and it doesn't seem like it's really real, and you might not know how to apply it, and you can't imagine actually living it. And then the next thing you know, you have surgery, and you're like, oh, all that stuff people were talking about, this is it. This is what it is. So we hope that you'll come back, because one of our support calls will not be enough to get you through the lifelong journey of being a weight loss surgery person that's ahead of you. But this is certainly a fantastic place to be. So welcome. Thanks for sharing your time with us. For those of you that are here for pre-op and you need a proof of attendance, we'll tell you how to do that at the end of the call, right? You need to be here for the whole call. So we'll tell you about how to do that at the end of the call. But welcome. Glad to have you here. Anybody been here too many times to count, and you just keep coming back?
I've been here quite a few.
Yay. What's your name?
Me, Wendy.
I hear Jerry.
Yeah, there's Carrie on the line here calling from Niagara Falls.
Oh, wow, two Jerrys.
Hi, Jerry. This is Jerry from Colorado.
Oh, Jerry and Carrie.
Hey, this is Becky from Colorado.
Hey, Zach. Becky.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh. And Becky's here. I love it. So we got Becky from Colorado, we got Jerry from Colorado, and we have Carrie from Niagara Falls. Yay. Some of my favorite people are on the line today. How exciting. So let's talk about this. I have a topic today. It's about fitting in. And how life changes. But I'll ask before we jump into the topics, since we have so many veterans that have been here before and so many new folks, right now, today, in this moment, as you take time and space for yourself, answer one of these two questions. One, why are you here? Right? That's one question. Think about that. That's the question. Why are you here? I want to know. And the other one is you could choose to answer, what's the highlight? What is the highlight in your life right now that you believe has been developed because of your life as a weight loss surgery patient? Right? What is the highlight in your life that's been developed because you made the choice to have weight loss surgery?
What's the connection? What's the highlight?
So who wants to answer? Either question.
Hey, Wendy, this is Linda.
Linda. Ooh, I love Linda, too. What, you got an answer for me?
Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Which question are you taking?
For the first one.
Okay.
Why am I here?
That's right.
I'm here because I want to, I just wanted to listen in to gain more knowledge of the phone call.
Nice.
And the second is, what's the second question you asked?
You didn't have to answer, but the second one was, what is a highlight in your life you can live right now in your life that's because an outcome of you having weight loss surgery?
The highlight in my life is getting exercise in every day.
Woo! Fierce warrior when it comes to the fitness competition. She likes to go all in. I love it. Well, yay. Thank you for being here, Linda. Between you and I, at some point I need an update on that conversation you had, FYI. I'm glad you're here. Who else wants to answer a question? Thank you for jumping in and sharing, Linda. I appreciate you.
No problem.
I'll share.
Oops, go ahead. I heard some. Tell me about it.
Oh, so I keep coming back for the PMA.
Yeah.
That's what I'm here for today. Because it's always a great thing to hear about all the successful journeys everybody's on and different ways that people are getting there.
I love it. And for those of you that don't know PMA, what's PMA, Carrie? Can you tell them?
The positive mental attitude.
Mental attitude.
Woo-hoo! Oh, yeah. Carrie, how many years post-op are you, Carrie?
What is it? I think it's 10 and a half.
Yeah, 10 and a half.
Yeah, it's getting there. And tonight I'm going to WLS to meet up in Toronto at this amazing club. And it was picking between what two outfits, and both look amazing on me. And that's part of like that, that continual positive reinforcement for what you're doing, all the good habits, that personal reward. I love it.
Non-scale victories, right? Non-scale victories. I was having a conversation, so I love it. Those of you that are new, those of you that are pre-op, here's the proof, right? 10 and a half years later, somebody's reaching out and joining one of our calls simply because they want to keep that positive mental attitude flowing.
Follow the children.
Right? Hello, new caller. They want to keep that positive mental attitude flowing, and they are encouraged by others, right? The community piece, being surrounded by community. And sharing what really matters is that the work that we do, right, the habits, the lifestyle, the wake up in the morning every day, go to bed at night every day, or whatever schedule you live, but that cycle of living, right? You got to be in it. The things that you're doing in your daily life turn into where Carrie's at tonight. She's struggling with outfit to pick out to go out because they both look good on her, right? Because she does the work. She's living it. And so you just got to keep refueling it, right, Carrie? You just got to keep refueling it.
Yes. And like also remembering the piece that you don't have to eat the whole elephant at once. That in all of the effective habits that you pick up along the way to get to where you're really, really rocking maintenance, you don't have to get everything all on point all at once. Don't overwhelm yourself. You know,
right?
Things that work that are easier for you to achieve, and once you're there, go to the next thing.
Yeah.
I'm still working on water.
The truth comes out. There it is. 10 and a half years later, she's still working out on water. And you know the thing is, because I love Carrie, she's awesome, but she's not perfect.
Absolutely not.
Right? And because none of us are. So that is actually a really great point. It can be overwhelming, and it will take time, and you need to break it down into small goals and small actions and repeat until it feels like it's natural, right?
Yeah.
And it just starts happening. And then add the next one on. So be guaranteed that it's not going to come easy, right? It's not I wake up on the other side of that surgery and my life is fixed. My obesity is gone, right? It's a journey. And it's about being willing to transform, which is a great segue into fitting in, right? And so I want to talk about this. It's kind of right on point. Relationships, right? One of the success habits is around personal accountability. And personal accountability, you know, I alone am responsible for my successes and my failures. Nobody else can do that for you, right? You got to take some ownership in this journey and lead yourself where you want to go, right? And part of that's going to be the people you're around. If you think about it, relationships are systems, right? Think about relationships and how they're like systems. We create them and we maintain them, right? We create relationships and we maintain them. And we also train others to respond to our behaviors. Think about that. We train others to respond to our behaviors in a particular way. Let that resonate with yourself for a second. Think about some of the relationships that you have created. Think about the relationships that you work to maintain. If you're not working to maintain those relationships, you probably don't have a very good relationship in that space. Right? And we do train others how to respond to our behaviors, right, in a certain way. Probably already done that today. Maybe you did that yesterday, right? More than likely you for sure did. And you'll probably do it again today and tomorrow and the next day. So we do this with others, right? We train them, and others do this to us. They train us. Because first, it's easy. And second, for the most part, it works, right? So what I want to break that down a little bit today is in our relationships before weight loss surgery. So it's fun that we have some folks on the line that are pre-op with us because we're going to talk about before weight loss surgery and we're going to talk about after. In our relationships before weight loss surgery, how have we negotiated with others to respond to our weight? Think about that. How have you negotiated with others to respond to your weight? What comes to mind?
This is Anything? Becky, Wendy. When before my weight loss surgery, nobody would talk to me about my weight because I would shut them down, and I weighed over 300 pounds.
Mm-hmm. Do you recall what that conversation may have sounded like? Would you mind sharing?
Well, if somebody said I was fat or I shouldn't do this or shouldn't do that, I shut down, and I'm really good at shutting people out, and they would be on my...
You didn't respond. Is that what shutting down meant?
Yeah, and I'm really good at, you know, you've been frozen when I freeze you. You know, my kids, I can drop you 100 yards with a stare. I remember a close friend, we went to Starbucks and we're going to get coffee and I wanted a Frappuccino and he gave me the look, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, you know.
Right.
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, how can a close friend give you that look when you want to order a Frappuccino, right?
Right. And he was probably very instrumental because we talked a lot about healthiness and how can I promote healthiness when I weigh 310 pounds, you know,
mm-hmm.
which was a big deal. I also, though, used this, my special powers, when I decided to have surgery, because a lot of people will get flack about it. And I would tell people, I'm doing this. I'm not asking your permission. I'm not asking your input, you know, or your approval, you know. And
right.
I didn't get a lot of the bad feelings because I was serious and people knew I was serious. This isn't up for discussion.
There you go. Right?
Right.
So Becky's going to freeze you either way, right?
Yeah.
Give her a hard time and challenge her around.
Am I a little stubborn? Maybe.
Yeah. And then on the flip side of it, she's going to tell you, I don't care what you have to say. This is what I'm doing. I've made up my mind. I love it.
Right.
Great shit.
Right. And that's probably the best advice I can give anybody on the journey is you make up your mind and
do it.
Yeah, and you only listen to people that have your best interests in heart. And you change that Frappuccino to a black coffee because you know he cares about you, you know.
There you go. Full circle, right?
Yeah.
I love that. Great, great share. So true. Anybody else, think about your relationship before weight loss surgery and how you negotiated with others how they respond to your weight.
Well, my daughter's a nurse, and she's all for it as long as I get healthy.
So,
and I am getting healthy. I've already lost 30 pounds before the operation.
Okay, great. So
walking and dieting.
What is the negotiation? How does that conversation work? Is your daughter, has she been someone who talked to you about her concern for your health because of your weight?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So
what
was that conversation?
Well,
how did she? Yeah,
well, see, I was sick a year ago, and I didn't get as healthy as I didn't get as better as quick as I wanted to. And she said, well, you know, your weight has a lot to do with this, so think about all this, you know. And she says, I want to see you. You know, with my grandchildren, I want you to be there for them. And, you know, we talk all the time about it. So she really wants me to go through this. And I want to do it, too, to get healthier, make sure I live a longer life.
So when she was having these conversations with you, how are you responding? Were you in that place already that you were on the side of having weight loss surgery? Or
oh, yes. Yes. I'm already, you know, I'm due in November to have it. Well, this is November. So I'm ready and raring to go.
What did the conversation sound like with her before you decided to have weight loss surgery?
She said it's your decision, and which I knew it was, you know. She can't talk me into, you know, having it or not having it, but she approved of it 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she's real nice and thin. Which I've never
there
done.
You go.
Then.
Okay. There you go. I love the share, right?
Mm-hmm.
People, so this is great. These are the friends, the family members, the coworkers that we're close to, how they perceive us, you know, how we negotiate. I mean, I can think for myself. I lived in Los Angeles for a very long time, Hollywood, and all of my friends were, you know, my closest friends were tall and slim and trim, and I wasn't, you know. I didn't go shopping with them. I didn't get to share clothes with them, right? Mm-hmm. I was kind of like the only girl that didn't get to go into each other's closet and pick something out of the closet to wear out that night. But one of the ways that I negotiated with others on how to respond to my weight was that I was always on a diet,
mm-hmm.
right? I was always a girl talking about the latest, greatest, low-carb this or Oprah Winfrey that or Atkins guy that or Weight Watchers this. So my thing was I was always on some type of a diet. I was always in the process of losing weight. So that was how I negotiated being the fat friend, was that I was always on a diet. That's me. Anybody else want to share about how you negotiated with others to respond to your weight before weight loss surgery? It's a big deal. Okay. So I want you to think about this. As we move into a relationship with another person, together we negotiate the borders of the relationship. We negotiate those borders that will work for both people. Right? And this negotiation takes place using many parameters, and they include conversation, right? I heard already people share that they had talked to their friends or family members, right? In the negotiation, there's conversation. There's observation, right? Somebody mentioned they saw a look they got from a friend, right? And or observation in your behavior, if you're ordering something, right? They see you doing that. They're observing you do that. The interaction, right, in general, maybe you can't keep up with everybody else, or maybe you always look down and you don't look people in the eyes. Past experience, right? Somebody that you might know who's had weight loss surgery, or somebody that you might know who's thin. She's always been thin, so how could she ever understand my journey, right? Or maybe they had a friend or family member who had that surgery, lost a bunch of weight, and gained it all back, right? So they tell you about that. Reputation. You know, I was the girl that was always on the diet, but I wasn't. I was always on the diet because I wasn't getting anywhere. I had a reputation for being on a diet but not getting anywhere, right? So, anybody else have any thoughts? Did you have in your conversations with people before weight loss surgery? Did you talk a lot about diet, or did you never talk about your weight at all? Which category do you fall into? Anybody?
Well, I didn't tell any of my friends. I just told my daughters. And I kept it to myself. I'm keeping it to myself, but they have noticed that I've, you know, where when we go out to eat, I'll have a salad or something, or, you know, something light, very light.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't mention, am I doing anything or any? I've lost 35 pounds and nobody has mentioned it to me.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's because they can't see it. I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, don't they see it? I see it, especially in my face.
Yeah.
I can tell you something interesting. I lost like 90 pounds, and no one in my small community mentioned anything to me about it. And I thought, what the hell?
Yeah, that's what I said. I just lost 35 pounds and nothing.
Like, they thought I was sick. And that's what they were asking, like, does she have cancer or something, you know, because I'd lost weight so rapidly.
I had a FedEx guy that came into my office every day for 10 years. And it took about 12 months for me to lose 70 pounds. And finally, I had lost 70 pounds. And the FedEx guy says to me, hey, are you losing weight? And I'm like, am I? I've lost 70 pounds in the last year. Heck yeah, I'm losing weight. But I thought the same thing. Did he really just now notice that? But I also think people don't know how to say it. Like, because if they say, oh, you look great, you've lost weight. When I hear that, I think, well, what did you think I looked like before?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it does happen in that way. People don't know how to say it or don't know how to ask it or don't want to offend you. But the other piece about that, too, is I knew that I was losing weight. And it can be real easy to want to get validation or confirmation from others.
Mm-hmm.
And if you see it, that's all that matters. Remember that. It's kind of like you're doing all the work, too. Nobody else can do it for you. Nobody else sees, you know, and knows what it's like to make those appointments to get your fitness done, to make sure you have the protein first and the produce that you need to eat, to make sure that you're working on your water. Like Carrie said, she still struggles. Nobody knows she's really struggling with the water except for all of us now, right? That she's still working on it. Everybody just thinks, oh, she must drink a lot of water, right? So we're doing all the work individually to produce those results. So somebody else doesn't see that work either oftentimes. But I'm going to dig into this a little bit more because I'm not getting the 100% answer I'm looking for. Before you decided to have weight loss surgery, okay? Mm-hmm. So you're having relationships with people and they're in your life and you haven't even decided to have weight loss surgery. You're just living, right? I lost 100 pounds 3 times and gained it all back 3 different times, right? So that was me always on a diet, the girl, the friend that was always on a diet. What conversations did you have with your friends and family? Did you talk about wanting to lose weight, or did you never talk about your weight at all? Did you have friends?
It's a tough one. I think it's a tough one because it's a very emotional sticking mm-hmm. point for most people in their relationships with others, especially family members. Mm-hmm. Because if you've been obese for most of your life or part of your life, the way that most families deal with it is not very constructively.
Yeah.
A lot of comparison, and we tend to absorb a lot of that and continue to see ourselves through the same lens as the relationships we used to have. There are a lot of relationships that change because of consumption levels and focus of entertainment.
I think that's where we're going.
A lot of people, celebrations around food, going out together and eating. Everybody wants to go to a buffet so that everybody can please everyone. And then when you have weight loss surgery, you're like, well, I don't want to pay for all of that if I'm not going to be eating it.
Right?
Right? And you want to be doing other things. But at the same time, you also have to realize that they're not on the same journey as you. I think it's mm-hmm. helpful personally to think of spending the money on those types of restaurants as an investment in going out. So it's not really about the food. If you were to go to a movie, you'd probably be spending even more money. But it's for the experience. So focus mm-hmm. on the experience around it instead of the actual food. And that's a very, it's a really, really big leap to get to there, I think. But it changes how you interact in those relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Uh-huh.
It, yeah.
This is
it becomes a little bit less transactional, I think.
Yeah. So Carrie hit on some good points, and I'm guessing you've all been there in your own way. I can think about myself. You know, my first diet, I was 12 going on 13. And then fast forward 10 years or less, 8 years, and my mom had just lost a bunch of weight and came to visit me in California and basically told me I was fat. And I thought, well, she's all high and glory and mighty because she just lost 100 pounds. And she looks mm-hmm. great, right? And so she thought that I needed to do the same thing. And she was probably right. And I didn't eat yogurt at all at that time in my life, in my early 20s. And I can remember my parents had left, and I was sitting in my house eating yogurt, crying about it. And I love Greek yogurt now. This is way back before Greek yogurt. It was a Danon yogurt, Yoplait it was. And I was sitting there eating a Yoplait yogurt crying because my mom was right. I needed to lose weight. And nobody else was going to tell me about it but her. And she ate yogurt for breakfast. So I guess I'll sit here and cry and eat yogurt for breakfast too. And I'll lose weight, right? Or my brother. 10 years later, my brother saying to me, what are you going to do about your weight? Right? Like, oh, gee, is that what we're here doing, talking about me and my weight? Okay, well, I guess if you're going to tell me I need to do something, you're asking me about it, maybe I need, I guess I need to do something about it. I thought we didn't notice I was fat.
right? And the other thing was my dad always wanted to do weight loss challenges. You know, my dad was heavy, still is. And his way of interacting with the family when we would be together, you know, the two times a year, if that, would be talk about we should have a weight loss challenge. Whoever can lose the most weight, I'll pay money for it. You know, there's $300 for the person who loses the most weight in this amount of time. So that's me sharing how it was my family. It was never any of my friends. It was always my dad, my brother, and my mom talking to me about my weight. And it went on for years. And now I can sit down and have a meal with my dad and my brother, and my brother's comment is, "You eat like a bird." I'm like, "Yeah, you eat like a bird." I'm like, "I'm okay with that." Right? I want to be like, "Do you remember the conversations we used to have?" Right? But instead, yep, I eat like a bird. That's fine. Right? So Carrie's right about that. Talking about the conversation, right? What is the conversation? It could be hard because typically those people who had those conversations with us were our families. The observation, Carrie brought that up too. And she also brought up interaction. You know, observation, our friends and family see us eating for social fun, right? They may not see us doing anything else, right? If you think about it, I grew up in the Midwest, and everything was around food. Good, bad, or ugly, there was food involved. We're going to eat. That's what we're going to do, right? Going out, there, you know, where I lived, there was little to nothing besides restaurants. In schools and hospitals and manufacturing plants. So what did you do for entertainment? You know, even the closest movie theater was 40 minutes away. So if you're going to do something on Friday night, guess what you were going to do? You were going to eat. Let's get together and eat, right? And then interaction, right? A lot of the things we do with our friends and our family are activities that are centered on food. Again, not physical activity. When was the last time you got together with your family to go on a hike instead of eating? Right? When was the last time you never? When was the last time your best friends were your running partners and you ran a half marathon with them and trained for it for 10 weeks? Are those your friends? Is that what you do with them? Right? When was the last time you made a date to meet your girlfriends at the gym on Friday night instead of going to
club drinking?
So they don't see you. They remember you being who you were pre-weight loss surgery. Right? Past experience. They always know you're interested in going to eat. That's what they know. They could call you. How many of you have that friend? Somebody's got some background noise. I'm going to ask you to check your phone and hit *6. *6 to put you on mute so we don't hear your background noise, and then *6 will take you off of mute so you can join the call again. But I want to hear from, I mean, you know, Carrie mentioned it when friends or a family, you know, let's go out to the restaurant. Even though she doesn't want to go eat, she's going for the interaction with those people, right? She's looking at it as an opportunity to go out and enjoy the people that she's with, which is great, right? But how many of you have that friend pre-weight loss surgery that knew they could call you because you were down to chow, you were down to go out to eat, you were down to go big or go home when it came to eating? How many of you had that friend or family member? Nobody? I had that. Like, we Tuesday night was Taco Tuesday. We ate tortilla chips, we ate tacos, we drank tequila until we could no longer do it. And the night was over every Tuesday for about 15 years. Anybody else?
Nobody else had that friend. Were you the friend? Were you the friend that made that call? Were you the friend that called somebody up and said, hey, let's go down to such and such and check out that new restaurant?
That would be me. Definitely.
That would be. Tell me about that.
So, yeah, like before surgery, like it was always like I really was intent on those food funerals because that was such like a ritual for me, going out for Chinese food. And I was always the one to overindulge. Like there were no leftovers to take home. It was because of me. And that changes. And so people expect you to be like that, and suddenly you go out and everybody's looking at your plate and you don't know sort of how to respond to people when they say, oh, is that what you're eating? Or oh, I should eat like you now, or you eat like a bird, or, you know, like all these different things. Depending on where you are in your journey, they mean different things to you. And that can be kind of freaky.
Yeah, exactly. So we fast forward to... You were the person, right? I was the person who said, hey, let's go to Costco. It's going to be a great day for samples, and then we'll stop and get the pizza and the yogurt, and we'll take pizza home, and that'll be gone by tomorrow morning, and we'll start it all over again, right? And now I go to Costco, and I don't do that. I can't, right? So who am I? What am I doing, right? How does it change? So let's shift into that after surgery, right? After surgery, how does fitting in, how do these relationships change? So oftentimes when we talk about the relationship and that negotiation and treating, you know, learning how to respond to others' behavior, right, that creates our relationship, problems can occur when one member of any relationship decides to make a substantive change in his or her behavior. And FYI, weight loss surgery is going to be a very big change in your behavior, specifically around food, but that's just the start, right? That's just the very tip of the iceberg. So an example, right, is that you might be you've made the decision to have weight loss surgery. Do you realize how big of a change that decision is for your life?
Mm-hmm.
All right, it's a big one. And so attempting to change the negotiated borders of the relationships that you have, oftentimes it's generally like not allowed, right? People like you to be who they think you are. Think about that for a second. People have gotten used to you the way you are. They've negotiated that relationship. You've negotiated it with them. That's who they're used to. That's what fits into their life. That's what they like. Right? You've heard that story. You've heard the story of the husband that and the wife that are getting divorced because he says she's changed since she had weight loss surgery, right? Or vice versa, the wife that says the husband has changed since they've had weight loss surgery. That's a really intimate relationship, right? And it's been changed, and people don't like change. So we get stuck in the picture of how someone is, and we continue to respond to him or her as though there have been no changes, right? So that's a two-way street as well. Like, you're going to need to communicate to people, right? Like Carrie brought up, you're no longer the girl that eats all the Chinese food. Instead, Carrie and I can go to eat Chinese food and share a lobster.
Yeah.
And be totally satisfied, right?
Yeah.
So people look at her plate, right? They're used to her being the gal that's going to finish it. Now she's got this plate. Either they're looking at it or she feels like they're looking at it. Do you talk about it, right? My Taco Tuesday friends,
I had to tell them, I remember when I finally was post-op far enough that I was eating firm, regular food like I should eat for the rest of my life, right, that what about Taco Tuesday? How are we going to get that going again? And I remember saying to my friends, so I'm not going to be able to eat and drink at the same time. I'm going to choose not to eat the tortilla chips and the guacamole and the salsa and the sour cream. Can figure out a way to eat the taco meat, the guts of the taco, but I'm not really into eating tacos anymore. And I can't talk and chew at the same time. This was me, very freshly post-op. So I'm happy to get together with you at the Mexican restaurant, but I want you to know that I'll have to eat and chew and swallow and let you talk, and I'll listen, but I'll have to not be eating so I can talk back because I can't chew and eat at the same – I can't chew and talk at the same time. I haven't mastered that yet. That's something that I've been struggling with. I had to be able to communicate that. So do you still want to go get tacos with me? right? Big change. But I had to take on that conversation. So can you think about any experiences in your own life where as you became a weight loss surgery patient and you have these relationships that where you've had to negotiate the borders, you've had to change the relationship, the dynamic of your relationship, and what's happened? How's it going? This is the real stuff, guys. So you should all be experiencing this on some level. I'd love to hear from you. Nobody? Nobody is renegotiating relationships with people? Well, welcome to the holiday season. If you haven't negotiated any relationships lately, you will between now and the end of the year, right? You're going to have to negotiate with your coworkers. You're going to have to negotiate with your family. Your great aunt Liz, who always makes the dumplings or the mashed potatoes with 10 gallons of butter and sour cream in them, or Aunt Janet, who makes those cookies that nobody can make them like Aunt Janet, and they only make them one time a year, and you got to eat as many as you can because they'll be gone. That's what she expects, for you to walk in and eat all the cookies. What are you going to say to Janet about her cookies this year? Right? You guys following me with this?
Mm-hmm.
So are you in that place? Are you negotiating your relationships? Most people have difficulty recognizing on their own that someone is making a concerted effort to change. Think about that. Most people have difficulty recognizing on their own that someone is making a concerted effort to change. We cannot gain the support of others in our change without disrupting the negotiated borders that have been set. Do you understand that? When you hear that, what do you think? We cannot gain the support of others in our change without disrupting negotiated borders. So I'll share something else. I can remember the 1 week post-op. My husband now, but at the time my boyfriend, we always, if he was home and I was home and it was Friday, we were either having our own happy hour or we were going out to happy hour, which meant cocktails and food. And we had done that for almost 3 years, together. And after having weight loss surgery, week one post-op, I feared what was going to happen to us if we didn't get to go to happy hour. right? That's what we did. What were we going to do now? So I actually had a conversation with him about it, and he made, we didn't go anywhere. We stayed home, but he made a low-calorie style, some type of cocktail. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was probably a low-sugar margarita of some sort in a small, tiny little glass that I could take a sip out of, kind of thing. So I had to have the conversation with him and say, ooh, gosh, we usually go to happy hour. We're not going to happy hour today. What are we going to do? Right? I don't want us to not be able to do the things we like to do together, but it's going to change for sure. 5 days post-op. I can't do what I was doing last weekend. Right? So I had to have that conversation, and he had to be willing to accept that negotiation of change. Are you following me, guys?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you done this?
Mm-mm.
Do you need to do this in your life? Do you need to have some of these conversations? Talk to me.
No.
Hi, Wendy. This is Jerry. Yeah. Ron and I had that conversation. There were certain things that we talked about and said, I can't do that anymore. And so we made different decisions, and he's aware, you know, there's been times when he says, well, I would like this, and I'll say, no, I can't have it. You know, I'm not in a place where I can even make good choices if I was there. If he wants pizza, and I'm having one of those days where the draw of pizza is just too much, I'm just going to say, fine, we're going to have something else, and you can have pizza later. And so we've made decisions like that.
Yeah, and you had to take on those conversations, right?
Right. And then there have been times when we've had other people that are unaware, because I don't share that I have lap band with a lot of people. Even 7 years out, I don't. There's still a lot. The majority of people do not know. And so there are times when conversations have been, well, let's go here, and Ron will say, no, I'd rather go here. Or I'd rather, you know, he'll make a comment because he knows that that's not an easy place for me to go.
Uh-huh. There you go. You've got an advocate.
He's my partner in crime. Right.
Yeah. Good.
And then there are times when I decide that I want to do something, and he looks at me and says, really? Then it's on the other side of the coin. It's like, I want to do it, but he's like, I don't think you should be doing it, so.
Or the last time I suggested doing that, you told me no. So now you want to do
uh-huh.
it?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. It's true, right? So there's another piece that was shared. If you as you're changing, right, I think Becky mentioned her neighbor thought she was ill, that she had some type of cancer or disease because she had lost so much weight so quickly. But rather than talk to her about it, they were having these conversations. If you don't tell people that you've had weight loss surgery, how do you have a conversation with them about negotiating the change? Right? If your coworker that you work with always, you know, brings in donuts every Friday, and you were taking the donut when she brought it in, hot and fresh donut, she would stop at your desk and you'd grab that donut, and then next thing you know, you're a weight loss surgery patient, and that's you're not going to tolerate the sugar in that donut, but you haven't told your coworker that you worked next to for 3 years that you had weight loss surgery.
Wendy, I got around that by just saying that I'm on a diet, or I'm on a new weight loss, or on a new way of eating. I didn't call it a diet, and I didn't call it weight loss. I just said I've got to take control. And yeah, and that means that I can't have the donuts, the candy, the sweets, or the all you can eat going back four or five times in line and stuff like that. That's how I got around it. One of the reasons that I chose not to tell people and share is because too many people, I was like you. I was always on a diet. I'd easily lost two or three people over my lifetime. Started off at 12, and and then when you lose weight and then you fail and you start putting it back on, people look at you and make comments and stuff. And I didn't want that. I didn't need that negative space in my head because I was okay. I did enough of it of my own. So I just said it was a new way of life. And a couple people were like, well, that's really good. And, you know, others like, well, you can't have this or you can't have that. And it's like, that's okay. I mean, I'm all right with it. So it's not something that's going to be harmful. But they didn't know that because I have gained weight back. I've had the surgery, and I've gained weight back. And I don't want people pointing a finger and saying, well, see, that one failed.
She had the surgery.
She had the surgery, and look, it failed. So yes. It doesn't work. The surgery works. I failed the surgery. So I just don't want that conversation.
I
don't
really
need those
like
people
to add
in my head.
Because I failed my surgery, and it wasn't me. It was the food. And I don't want people to blame themselves for, quote-unquote, failing
good.
Their surgery.
Mm-hmm.
When
good
your
point.
Bariatric specialists are telling you to eat chocolate shakes in the place of protein, how do you think you're going to get there after? It's not this is a major thing where people think that they've failed. A lot of people decide not to have surgery because of this, because they see people who've, quote-unquote, failed their surgery. I gained over 100 pounds after my surgery at 5 years out. I am currently 125 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And the difference is understanding how food affected my body and stepping away from commercially produced food. I am now, I've educated myself to be a product developer, and in the spring I graduate, and I'm going to be making changes because I feel so passionate and strongly about this, and that everybody thinks it's their fault and they have no self-control, but it's how the food is designed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not you. Okay.
Continue
your story.
It's a true statement.
Yeah. And the piece that I want to add to that is if the food failed us or we failed, right, if we fail, whatever that failing piece is, it's okay to fail, right?
That's how you learn.
Right. And that failure is an opportunity to create change. And that is the biggest piece. And to Carrie's point, which I wholeheartedly support, it's the food that we choose to put into our bodies. And it does have a chemical reaction. And I have not had my own form of sugar since September 12th, I've pretty much, I always do a no sugar November, and I started no sugar November back in September this year. And it is amazing. So I speak this just based on sugar in general. It is like crack, heroin, cocaine, that if I have it, I need more of it. There's never enough.
And the sugar substitutes are the same. They have a similar psychological effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that is varies by person, right? But I know that it does have impact on many, for sure.
Mm.
Right, like just it's like it goes to the water thing, right? A lot of bariatric people, they put they'll put like Crystal Light, or they'll put
non-calorie sweetener in their water because there's no feedback loop. How much water can you drink versus how much Crystal Light lemonade can you drink? Because of that sweetened nature of the food, you'll drink more of it.
Yep, exactly. So that's why we're always talking about, at WLS Success Matters, we always want to talk about what are you doing, right? Let's start there. And we always want to take a look at the food. What are you eating? And we always promote eating real food, right? And to Carrie's point, the less processed it is, the more farm-to-table, if you will, that you can get, the better your body is going to respond, and it does impact the way you think, right? And that there's that place of judgment. Because I make the choice if I'm going to eat the non-processed food or not, right? But we have to start with realizing that we have options. And if people train us from the get-go that we need to have a chocolate protein shake, I love that, Carrie, then what's going to happen later, right? What's in that chocolate protein shake? What can you have that's real food? So that was a great point. From a time perspective, I want to be conscious of everybody's time. It's 8:59 here on the West Coast. I have a couple of other things I want to share around these conversations that you need to have with your relationships. Your relationships are always going to be changing. And as a weight loss surgery patient, more than likely, the places you spend your time, the people that you spend your time with, and how you spend your time with those people or in those places is going to be different. You cannot expect to create change in your life as a weight loss surgery patient if you do not change, right? You'll get the same results because you're doing the same thing. So I can guarantee you will have change in your life. And people in your life are going to either get on board with that change or not. And you need to be a part of that relationship. So to begin changing relationships, you need to find those people who are reliant on us not to change. Right? Do you have any people in your life like that? Find those people who are relying on us not to change. Who are they? Right? Discuss the proposed changes with these people. Talk about what you want to do differently. So I ended up taking Tasty Taco Tuesday and turning it into a hike night. We're going hiking instead. So we stopped going out for tacos and we started hiking in Los Feliz in Griffith Park every Tuesday. But I had to talk to them about that, right? Tell them what you want to change, right? Tell them what you want to change. Tell them what you want to change it to. So I no longer want to go meet for tacos and tequila on Tuesday. I'd rather meet to go for a hike, right? Give them permission to call you on it when you are doing something other than what you said you want to be doing. Give them permission to call you on it when you're doing something other than what you said you want to be doing, right? Jerry shared that about her husband. Asking her, oh, really? You sure you want to do that? I'm pretty loyal and dedicated to my fitness routine, but I can tell you my husband has a very good way of pushing my buttons and saying, well, you've never missed a workout. You're going to start today, right? When I think when I'm slacking and taking a long time to get my workout done, he's real good at saying, well, you've never missed a workout. What are you going to do to start today, right? So he has permission to ask me what I'm doing. And you can even give them the exact words to use that will signal you that they are doing what you ask of them, right? So if you ask them, maybe you have a word, a secret word, spook or boo, right? So they can just say boo. right? And you know, oh, crap, that was the thing I said I didn't want to be doing, or that was the thing I said I needed to do, right? You can have a code word. But being held accountable by others for what we're about to change is a big motivator, right? I'm the opposite of Jerry. I told everybody I'm having weight loss surgery because I wanted to have that accountability. I wanted to stay motivated. And I still do that 10 and a half years later. I put myself on broadcast so that I have that anchor of I'm going to do what I say that I'm going to do. Sandy and I being bariatric coaches, being support group leaders, being co-founders of a weight loss surgery education and coaching business keeps us pretty much, if you can't walk the talk, why would you want to come walk with me, right? So I have to walk that talk. So it can be amazing how much more we accomplish when we know that someone's going to ask us if we did what we said we were going to do, right? And that's also a lot about what WLS Success Matters does from an accountability standpoint. It's not a judgment, right? It's a, hey, I'm your anchor. I'm your accountability person. You are, tell me that you're going to go do something. And I'm either going to ask you how it went, or I'm going to look forward to understanding the success of it with you or the challenges of it with you, right? So it's okay to have some accountability built in with people. So by bringing those around us into roles that support our intended change, we lessen the possibility that they will become obstacles to our success. That's a big one. Those relationships are going to change, and if you start the change and create the new negotiations, then they're not going to be your obstacles to success, right? My husband hasn't brought home any cupcakes since September when I stopped eating sugar, right? Because I told him, no, I'm not eating sugar. So I had to get him involved in that so I didn't have any obstacles, right? So you can make people be a part of the process, and it will ensure that you succeed, okay? So I want you to remember that. So it is 9:05, so I'm going to be here until 9:30, so I'm happy to have all you stay for as long as you'd like, and we can answer and chat and discuss anything that we didn't cover in the support group for the hour. But I do want to, before I open it up, I want to say thank you to everyone that is here. I know we have some folks that are here for checking off the box as a pre-op patient, and you're looking for proof of attendance. So to get your proof of attendance, you need to do the following. You still need to be here on this call, and you need to write down our email address. So I'll give you a second to grab something to write with or to type in your phone or however you want to do it. Our email is WLS, so think weight loss surgery, right? WLS Success Matters. WLS Success Matters at gmail.com. Okay, WLS Success Matters at gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us that you need proof of attendance. Provide us the email address for your office where you need us to send that proof of attendance. And also let us know what today's conversation was about. What did you learn? What did you take away? Okay. Any questions about that for those of you that need proof of attendance? No? Good to go?
Yep, good to go.
Okay. All right. So if you need to leave.
What if you don't know the email address of the office?
Yeah, I need to be able to send the proof of attendance to your doctor. So, or your physician's assistant or your bariatric
nutrition
coordinator. So you'll have to ask them, but yeah, you'll need to send us the email address for us to send that proof of attendance.
Okay. My doctor said you can email me personally, and that's what I did with my last phone call. Is that still okay?
If your doctor's office says that's okay, then sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Well, thank you,
about
Wendy.
Oh, you're
thank you
welcome.
Very much.
You bet. I'm going to be here until 9:30, so we've still got 22 more minutes.
Okay.
And we're going to open up the discussion. So if you need to leave, adios, have a good one. I would recommend you take a look at our website, WLSSuccessMatters.com. Our most popular program starts November 5th. It's called Hanging Through the Holidays. Nobody does it like us for the last 9 weeks of the year. So if you want to maintain your weight, if you want to gain just a teeny bit of weight, or if you want to keep on the losing trend between now and December 31st, do it with us. It's called Hanging Through the Holidays. You can find out about it on our website. This is year 8 of our Hanging Through the Holidays program. And I can tell you that our group of people come January 1st are not concerned about the weight they gained over the holidays because they stayed accountable. They kept it in check. They managed to fit in as many of their good habits to keep them successful as they could, and they negotiated the stress and the mess of the holidays with us and not alone. And so it's a really great program, Hanging Through the Holidays. It's on our website. So with that, what do we got? I got a lot of callers on the line. We've got 20-so minutes left. What do you want to talk about? What questions do you have? What thoughts would you like to share? I'm here for you now.
Hi, this is Simone. I am pre-op now. And I'm just wondering about, I know we talked a lot about established relationships that you have with people and how to talk to them, but I'm thinking more along the lines of dating and how you can really, work in to stay true to what you're doing with your lifestyle changes in something that is so food-centric.
It's a great question. I think I have a YouTube video about that, Banded Wendy on YouTube, relationships. You can probably find it as a side note. Certainly I would say that you are in the process of creating change in your life. And so I don't know if you're someone who's dating currently and doing it a lot or regularly and you're going to have surgery in 2 weeks and then a week later you're back in the dating game. Maybe that's the case. You're going to be so consumed with recovery and change to transform the way you live, you're going to start creating your new lifestyle. And more than likely, you're going to be interested in and attract those that have a similar lifestyle. So maybe you'll start dating people who are athletic, who like to go running, who like to go hiking, who like to canoe, who like to do stand-up paddleboard. And your date won't be about going out to the restaurant to eat. It'll be about going to the climbing wall. Right? So, or maybe you'll decide that you love seafood and you never really liked seafood before. And as long as you're going someplace where you can get lobster or crab or shrimp and there's a water view, you're happy to go because you can get a shrimp cocktail and take leftovers home. Right? So I think that I'm going to open this up for others to share, but I think that you're going to be changing and the people and the places and the things that you like to enjoy from a dating perspective are also going to change. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Simone?
Definitely. Yeah, I think it's just like, it's true that like right now a lot of the dates that I do happen to be based on like dinner and drinks, and that's kind of just the way dating has been. But I can understand, like, switching gears with that. But I imagine it would be difficult to, like, have to, because you don't want to have to explain that, like, you've made this major change to someone that you really don't know at all. But I guess, like, switching the type of dating would be positive.
Yeah, and the reality is, Simone, that you're still going to eat, right? You're still going to have those dates. That are dinner and drinks. But instead of ordering the appetizer, the soup, the salad, the main course, the bread bowl, the dessert, that's not your, what you order is going to change, right? How much of it you eat is going to change. And really, when you're on a date, is it about the food or is it about the person? So if it's about the experience, right, and the getting to know somebody, it's really not going to be about food. So there may be, you know, you may say, oh, I just don't eat a lot. You know, you may say, yeah, you know, I could eat, and this is how much I eat, if it comes up. If they're that curious to know, you'll find a way to share it with them that works for you, right?
Another thing with the dating thing, being a single person myself and dating post-weight loss surgery, like about the eating thing, like you can pick something and just like change the order so that it's just protein and produce kind of thing, or like burger on a salad. If you get a, like a loaded burger on a salad, a guy will actually be pretty impressed with that. It's surprising. Because there's so many guys who are sort of doing the same sort of tactics for weight reduction with doing keto. But, like, if you focus on protein and produce and what you're ordering, and you can just tell them, I'm paying more attention to what it put in my body. And I want to eat more quality foods because I want my body to be more, you know, built of more quality things. And you know what? Honestly, they'll probably be impressed with you. They won't bat an eyelash, or they'll start talking about how they're doing the same thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great point, Terry. Yeah. Interestingly enough,
Go ahead, Becky.
No,
I'm very open. I've been open about my surgery from the get-go, and I got a lot. It became the running joke that I was really a cheap date, so it was kind of nice to take me out to eat. You know. So you know, it's how you approach it.
Yeah, I agree.
And I can remember going out with my husband, who is a weight loss surgery patient, when we first started dating, and I was not a weight loss surgery patient, and I was more focused on what I was eating and how much of it, what I ordered and what I ate and how much I ate, because I knew that he didn't eat very much, right? And so it's like, I didn't want to be the girl sitting there eating all the food on my date with this guy who doesn't eat very much. So he actually impacted how much I ate without even realizing he was doing it, right? Because I was the non-weight loss surgery patient in that relationship for a good minute.
Actually, to add on to that, that's very true. If you get something to share, like chicken wings, you could just take like 2 chicken wings, and the guy will just be eating and thinking that you're eating at the same pace.
Yeah.
This happens a lot. And then, in fact, actually, when you first have your surgery, if you're used to doing that with your friends, oftentimes you'll be like, damn, I don't want to pay half on the bill. I only had like 2 pieces and they ate the rest. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. And that's where you have to think about it, that you're both having the same restaurant experience. Right? It's not about how much volume each of you guys eat. Like, if you both go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant before surgery, were you actually monitoring how much that person ate? And if they ate more than you, did you feel that you were ripped off? No. You paid for the price of entry, right? That is for the ticket is for the experience, and it's a different way of thinking about going out to restaurants and stuff. But yeah, if you get a shared thing, and they see you like eating it, they're just going to assume that you're eating the same, unless they're like very computational and they're like, you know, and then that cues you into something about their personality too, right? So
right.
It's all useful.
Yeah. He's a good
Catherine. Great question. I appreciate you asking the question, Simone. Did we give you some stuff to chew on?
Yeah, for sure.
Excellent.
Thanks, guys.
Good.
Like, yeah. I'm going out to this thing tonight, which is going to be the first part of the evening is all weight loss surgery people. It's a Toronto weight loss surgery meetup group is having this event at this big club. But, like, after 11, they're opening the doors to the general public. And this is a place that is like a club that has a DJ. Before that, they're like a separate club with all these like little food truck style stations. And then they have like a Le Cirque style burlesque show. And so I'm going to be dressing for that occasion, and I know I'm going to be there with other weight loss surgery people, and I know it's going to be different when I'm around, like, all the weight loss surgery people versus when the club opens up to everybody and the general public is there. Because it's funny, with the weight loss surgery people, everybody knows I've also had surgery. In the general public, nobody knows I've had surgery. And the interactions that you have with people are a little bit different. You know, it's true. Yeah. All of that stuff that we were talking about earlier on the call is very, very true to life, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it's fun for you, Carrie. You have a great time tonight with those folks. The weight loss.
Oh, thanks. I can't wait. Like, honestly, I think I'm going to bring two dresses and do a wardrobe change in the middle.
Oh, why not?
Because that's what I can do now.
Yeah. You only live once.
Because my clothes is literally so small it'll fit in my purse.
Exactly. Packing made simple.
And that's after I failed my surgery. Thanks.
Right. Right?
And that feels great, I have to say. And I also want to add that the service that Wendy does is actually really, really a pivotal piece in that. When I had that regain, when I had already started working on it and battled 30 pounds of it, but I had a long way to go and I needed that accountability. And so I went back to the community and I actually did end up joining Wendy's group for a while for accountability. And that was really fabulous. And it really kept me on track and kept me focused. And, you know, I think it's a fabulous service that she provides.
Aww.
And I'm not just saying that as a friend, but as a customer. Oh, there you go.
Kara's my weight loss surgery sister for life.
Yeah.
But I appreciate the positive feedback. It works. Most of our clients have been with us on average for 5 or more years. And they don't, like, come and, you know, show up one day in the month. They show up 365 days of the year with us. So
yeah.
We've got a pretty good community of folks.
And most bariatric centers, I think, don't focus as much on that piece, the community support piece following weight loss surgery. It truly, for all the people I know who have been very, very successful long term, it's always because of that community piece, that support piece.
Yep. Gotta have it. Gotta have it. Carrie and I are OG YouTubers from the weight loss surgery world. And that's how I know my friend Carrie, because she was my community.
For a decade.
For a decade.
Can you believe that? For a decade. Incredible, eh?
Yeah, for sure.
Holy. And the last time I was in Vegas was when I had hit 160 pounds. I was on the upswing. Just starting my regain. And next year, when we get together, I'm not going to be worried about how tight the dress is fitting me. Do you remember I was, like, dying when I got back up to the room? I was like, oh, my God, somebody get me out of this dress. I'm dying. That's not going to happen to me
again. It won't take three of us to put it on you.
To do it up? Oh, my God. I tried that dress on today. The string was so long after tightening it was like down to the floor even when it was tied.
Isn't that funny?
And I can't wear it because it's too big.
Yeah, you need to get rid of that dress. Give it to someone. It did what it needed to do for you. You have new dresses now.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Let it go.
And the dresses I wear now are bodycons.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Carrie and I could talk forever. Right? And I'm sure you're entertained with us. But what else? We have 8 minutes. Who else?
I've actually got to go, so I want to say bye. Good luck to everybody who is embarking on their journey, who has just started on their journey, or who is right in the thick of it. Yeah. Have a great weekend, everybody. Every day, wake up and win.
Wake up and win. You can.
Yeah.
It's possible. Even when you're down. Yeah. And think about this. Make sure you're looking at your food, right, Carrie?
Oh, make sure that what you're eating is beautiful. However you define it. You should be eating something beautiful every day.
Yep.
However you define it. And look at it. Look at really what your food is. That piece is important. And with mm-hmm. that, should you love you, Wendy.
Love you too.
And
thank
everybody
you so
else.
Much. Have fun today.
Thanks. Bye.
All right. Bye. So, who's going to be here in a decade with me and Carrie? Because Carrie and I will still be here another decade later. What else? What do we got out there? 7 minutes. Let's hear from you. We still have callers on the line. Questions? Thoughts?
Wendy, this is Linda.
Yes.
I'm going to be there in a decade.
Yeah, you are. I'm counting on it.
You know I will.
Exactly. Okay. It's the place to be.
I'm not giving up.
Nope.
This coming December will be 3 years that I have my sleeve done.
Oh, wow. Can you believe that time has flown by so fast?
Yeah. I'm like, three plus
and
years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that kind of comes back to what Carrie was talking about, right?
Yeah.
Like, some people look at I remember when you were going through that place in your life where your lap band wasn't doing what it needed to be doing anymore for you. It wasn't the right fit. And having to come to that conclusion and the reality and understanding that the revision was your next best friend.
Yeah.
And all that goes with that. That was not an easy place to be, right?
And some other people are going through that in the same group that I used to be in. And I told them, just beware of the process. Keep on doing what you're doing. And I said, don't be afraid to reach out to WLS Success Matters in the meantime.
There you go, Linda. We appreciate you, right? Because that's what you did. That's exactly what you did. You stayed connected even when you were challenged and struggling and unsure and scared and worried. And then look at you now. 3 years later, revision, you're maintaining all of your weight loss. And living your best life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So
it's okay when we have to go a different route.
Yep.
It's okay. It is okay.
And I would say your Back on Track program is the best.
Thank you, Linda. We love Back on Track. Back on Track is one of the programs we facilitate. We won't have it. We've already started the final one of this year. But certainly take a look at our website. We'll have the January Back on Track classes. It's a 6-week course. You can join by phone and/or by video. There's several different educational tools, booklets that we send out to you in the mail that are yours forever. And we truly talk about getting back on track. We look at the full balance wheel of life and all areas of life. We take a look at your nutrition, portions, we look at water, we look at fitness, we look at overall health goals, we look at your professional life, your personal life, we look at what you are doing from a habitual standpoint, and we walk through a multiple-step process in exchanging habits. And it's really one of my favorite courses to facilitate. And people like Linda have been in that course. So thank you, Linda. I appreciate you being so kind and speaking so kind of us.
So wait a minute. You said you're discontinuing the course or just for this year?
No, we teach that we have a new course that starts about every 6 to 8 weeks. And we've already started the final class for this year.
Okay.
So if you go to our website, you'll see it there, Back on Track, and we'll have in January, we'll start back up offering them every 6 to 8 weeks. And you can sign up for it before then because they do fill up. They fill up. Yeah. Good question. So we've got about 3 minutes left. Anybody else out there? Question, comment, anything you want to talk about?
What advice would you give someone that's pre-op as far as staying on the right track and staying focused?
even after the procedure?
Well, the advice that I have to give you is so long and so wide and so deep, I can't give it all to you in 2 minutes. But what I will say is today's conversation was real. You need to look at your relationships now, and you need to decide who you need to change with you, and you need to start having those conversations with them now. Because when you are on the other side of having your surgery, it will be harder and feel more forced if you start having the conversations later, right? Your life's going to change for the better. So certainly all the information you're learning pre-op, keep it handy, know where it is 10 years from now. I could go right now to my cabinet and grab all my pre-op paperwork and all my post-op paperwork in this very second. I know where it is. Whatever your surgeon's team and or your surgeon tell you are the keys to success, focus on those. So when you, if you're doing exactly what your surgeon tells you to do and you're focusing on it one step at a time, not trying to do it all at the same time because that'll be too overwhelming, but focusing on each thing that your surgeon tells you to do to be successful one at a time and working on them day in and day out so that it becomes your new life, the new way you live. That's the key. They're going to give you everything you need to say, this is what you need to do. And so your job is to figure out how to do those things and make them fit into your life. And that's where you come to WLS Success Matters. Because it's very hard to do it alone. And we provide an environment 24/7, 365 that allows you to be that person who's trying to create the change in your life. And we help you figure out how to navigate life and still create that change. So follow your surgeon's rules. Follow your surgeon's rules for sure.
Okay, thank you. When is the next class?
Our next call will be on December 19th. That's a Thursday, and you can always find that on our website. Our WLS Success Matters at WLSSuccessMatters.com. It has all of our future support groups on the website with dates and times.
All right.
Gang, thank you so much for being here. Have a great Saturday. Have those conversations about those relationships that matter to you. You're going to need them in your life.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.